sense, reason, and community come together. The Rick Smith Show. Now, people, because together we will
stand every boy, every girl, and a man. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Big weekend this weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing what comes out of it. Our friends over at Keystone Progress going to have their North by Northwest up in Erie. They're going to have the likes of Katie McGinty and Joe Sestak. They're going to show up and maybe have a discussion also. Some of the Supreme Court candidates. This is a historic year. Three openings on the Supreme Court could change the direction of Pennsylvania for the next generation, for the next 50 years, if you will. So there's so much importance on this election. But I also, the 2016 senatorial race, that's a big one too. Here to talk about the big North by Northwest Summit, I've asked John Neuer. He's communication director over at Keystone Progress. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me again, Rick.
So, big summit. What kind of turnout are we expecting up in Erie this weekend?
Well, we're expecting 100 to 150 people up here, and this is sort of a mini version of what we do every year in Harrisburg with the Pennsylvania Progressive Summit. Which, by the way, the 2016 Pennsylvania Progressive Summit, Saturday, February 20th. So put it on your calendars. That's an event that we have been doing in Harrisburg. I think this past year was maybe our fifth year doing that. And so this is actually the second time that we've sort of taken it on the road to do a mini summit up here in Erie. We did it in 2013. So it's a really good way for us to connect with some folks here in the community in Northwest PA who might not necessarily make the trek all the way down to Harrisburg for the Progressive Summit. And we actually have a staffer on the ground, an organizer, working on a number of different issues here in Erie. So it's a great way for us also to sort of amplify some of the organizing work that's happening here through Keystone Progress on the ground.
So now when McGinty and Sestak are going to be there, the 2016, so far, Democratic candidates to take on Toomey, is this kind of like a debate forum? Are they just going to give speeches? Like a cage or something they can duke it out in? What's going on there?
Okay, so this is actually the first event where they are appearing at the same event. This is the first time they are at the same event in the same day now. They are appearing because of schedule conflicts. They are appearing at two different times. So here's what's interesting. What we actually have to do is Admiral Sestak will be there in the morning. And so we're going to take questions from the audience. What we actually have to do is take those same questions and ask the exact same questions at the lunchtime plenary when Katie McGinty's there. So it is not technically a debate where they're on the same stage at the same time, face-to-face, but they're answering the same questions. So you sort of look at it holistically, and it kind of is a debate, right? You have the same people that will be in the audience for the morning session and the lunchtime session. They'll be able to hear how each of the candidates answers exactly the same question. So we're excited about that. We're really happy that they both actually had to move things around to make sure that they could get here. But it's a great opportunity, I think, for everybody, the audience members especially, to hear how they're answering the same question.
Yeah, and then as someone who's creative in video stuff, you could probably put it next to each other and make it look like an actual debate.
Well, you absolutely could. And we will. That's a fantastic idea. I think, again, like I said, because this is the first time that, they're at the same venue for the same event, and so there aren't things occurring in the news between when they're answering similar kinds of questions. I think it'll be great. I think it's a great opportunity, and we're really, really looking forward to it.
And if you want to check out the website and you want to check out the big summit, nxnwsummit.org, we've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. You can check out the North by Northwest Summit that the good folks at Keystone Progress are putting on. To me, the big, outside of Sestak and McGinty, which, that's well down the road. I'm looking to this November We're looking at a historic opportunity to really to change the complexion of the Supreme Court to maybe we get some sanity on it. There are three openings, as I understand, and you're going to have, two or three of the Democratic folks who are going to show up?
Yeah, Judge Weck and Judge Donahue are scheduled to speak tomorrow as well. And, you know, you're absolutely right. And this is a real challenge, I think, because, you know, it's an off year. And that, in general, is difficult to get people excited to get out and vote. You know, in 2016, in the presidential year, it's not that difficult. But I think you are alluding to a very important point, which is, frankly, when it comes to policy here in Pennsylvania and laws here in Pennsylvania, and the kind of Pennsylvania that we will be living in and our kids will be living in for the next decade plus, this year's elections are more, you know, you could say are more important, or at least just as important as the elections in 2016, because the Supreme Court term, the 10-year term that they get when they win, they really can change the entire complexion, the way that the state is run, the laws and things that happen in Pennsylvania. And but this year with three vacancies, it's swinging the court. It is what kind of state Supreme Court are we going to have? So it's critically important, and we are really looking forward to being able to hear what these candidates have to say about why they want to be elected to the state Supreme Court.
Yeah. I just heard the other day, this is the first time that there have been three vacancies on the court since like the early 1700s. That's how rare this, I guess just one other time. And it was like 1704, 1707 or something like that.
Well, and think about this in the context of the federal Supreme Court. And just in the last couple years, the magnitude of sort of the ramifications of the rulings that the federal Supreme Court have made on issues like Obamacare and same-sex marriage. Well, you know, the state Supreme Court really is, doing the same thing for laws passed by our, frankly, right now, terrible legislature here.
Think voter ID.
Think about voter ID. Think about something like Act 13
yep.
and fracking in Pennsylvania. And that it was a conservative Supreme Court, frankly, here in Pennsylvania, that struck down large portions of Act 13 a couple of years back. So you have an opportunity, unlike the federal Supreme Court, where you have to wait for a vacancy because of lifetime appointments, and you just never know when that's going to happen. You have an opportunity in one day to flip control of that court for, the foreseeable future. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, especially as we're looking down the future at privacy rights, as we're looking down the future at workers' rights, consumer rights, all of these things that come up. And I got to be honest, you look at gerrymandering. 2020 is going to be another gerrymandering year if the Republicans have their choice. You're going to need a court who's at least somewhat rational as they look at that.
There's no doubt about it. the map as currently constituted, because of gerrymandering, makes it very difficult for Democrats to be able to take back control of the state legislature. So it's almost sort of a chicken and the egg problem, I guess you could say, with the maps. But again, what you're able to do on one single day is flip control of the Supreme Court and at least have a more reasonable conversation than after 2020, if Democrats don't take control, about what the map should look like. So, and you know what, you're absolutely right. I know you've talked a lot about this. It sort of feels like sometimes you're getting down in the weeds when you talk about redistricting and what the maps look like. But I don't, there's not any one single issue that is more critical to the kinds of laws that we pass here in Pennsylvania than redistricting and who gets to say in what those maps look like.
Yep.
No, I mean, I look at my, I live in the 30th Senatorial District. Actually, I live in the gas cloud that is the 30th Senatorial District. And if you look at it on the map, you ever seen on the back of like pickup trucks, you've got the little kid who's, urinating on something?
Yeah, I do.
It looks like that kid who's just really just blown some gas out. I live in the cloud in the back. How they drew that, I'm telling you, look it up. It's hysterical looking. How they drew that, I have no idea. But it's kind of funny looking.
Yeah, well, and I remember I went to school in upstate New York, and and in New York, frankly, it's the Democrats who have done the same thing for redistricting after redistricting. And I remember I lived in a district that the shape of the district was just unbelievable, ridiculous, because they had to draw. You know, upstate New York is gigantic when you look on the map, and they had to draw one little college town into part of this district that. I think the district stretched for, 220 miles or something ridiculous from north to south because of that. But both parties do it. There's no question. And I think you could have a much longer conversation about how some states, they have independent commissions that draw these maps, and maybe that's the way to go. But in the end, as long as the rules are the way that they are, for folks like us, we would much rather have a more progressive, left-leaning court that has to make a decision on whether or not the maps are fair.
I'm with you. So let's move on. But if folks want to go to the big summit, still time to get tickets, all of that, the website, nxnwsummit.org.
That's right. And you should, if you want to go, and we'd love to have you, try to go today. And sign up, because we have limited space. It's not a huge room, so we need you to do that now, because we're not going to be able to do registration at the door. So that's an important thing. So I'm glad that you mentioned that.
So make sure that you get there, because you want to see the Admiral, you want to see Katie McGinty, you want to see the judicial candidates, also some of the plenaries and the breakout stuff that I think is important as well. I did want to ask you about the budget before I let you go. There's some shenanigans, craziness. Representative Warner today, I guess, came out with the English-only legislation. He wants to, again, make the Commonwealth an English-only state. You got Representative Bloom doing a radio program, doing some free work while they take off instead of actually doing their job. Kind of interesting. Thoughts on the budget?
What is the circus that's going on in Harrisburg right now? This is just, it's crazy. And to me, here's the bottom line. Because a lot of this is just, rhetoric that we have to sort of parse through right now. But very soon, and it's already happening in some places, but very soon, Pennsylvanians are going to start to feel the effects of not having a budget. And that's with public services who aren't getting the funding that they would normally get from the state. It is with school districts who, frankly, usually around Labor Day every year, there's a check that comes from the state to a lot of school districts. They're not going to get that. So you're going to start to feel real effects. And I think that's when, I hope, that's when some of the circus will end and cooler heads will prevail and we will start to have a real conversation about what are reasonable solutions to this budget impasse right now. So, and that's coming soon. It's going to start to happen, and hopefully the debate shifts in that case.
Are you surprised by the latest numbers by the FNM poll that have put the responsibility or the blame, if you will, into the seats of the Republican legislatures in the General Assembly? Are you surprised that, because I think FNM came, and the Daily News came out with it, said 54% of the voters look at the Republicans in the General Assembly as the problem, while only 29% look at the governor?
Well, I think that's sort of a component of a couple of things. I think that at least some of that is people recognizing who is really holding things up here, because the Republicans, in essence, have, and we've talked about this before, but they presented what was basically a fifth Corbett budget, and that was rejected resoundingly by the voters when Governor Corbett was not reelected. That's number one, and I think number two is the other thing is the Republicans are the they have a majority, so for most people the most immediate elected official that they're dealing with in their district are Republicans. So, you know, I think that I think that's an encouraging sign. I think that it's also a sign that that Governor Wolf and his administration have done a good job, at least to this point, in explaining why there isn't a deal yet and why the you know, the components of their budget are important, and they're holding fast to those. So, but again, when people really start to feel it, and that's coming soon, I think the dynamics change a little bit in Harrisburg.
It'll be interesting because I'm here in end of October, early November, before anything gets done, which could be devastating. I just want to get one reaction with today being the 10th anniversary of the tragedy there and the catastrophe in New Orleans. Curious your thoughts on doing a heck of a job there, Brownie, since he's out there, you know, op-edding himself into, hey, it wasn't me, it was those guys.
When you have people who hate government in charge of government, inevitably you're going to run into problems. And the consequences in Katrina were catastrophic. And we're talking about loss of life. We're talking about people losing their homes. We're talking about not getting the relief they need when they've been displaced. But I think it's just, again, it is a result of people who have a disdain for government, but then we elect them to be in charge of government. And regardless of sort of how much you think the government should be part of our lives, there are times like that, like Katrina, when I think that we can almost all agree across the board, government has an important role. And you have to have competent people who believe that government plays a vital role in people's lives being in charge. That's just the bottom line to me.
Yeah, I'm still loving the rewriting. Just is what it is. But John, I appreciate you taking a little time for us, and good luck this weekend. And I hope all things go really well.
Thank you very much, Rick. I look forward to talking to you about it soon.
All righty. Thanks so much, John Neuer, Communication Director over at Keystone Progress. You want to check out the summit, nxnwsummit.org. We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. Just click on John's name. Take you right there. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Smith.